Pray for me and my family. This will be my first time preaching since my girl's been born, so this will be that first time hearing me preach. So I have a special audience tonight. I got to do a good job. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know on whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day. It is evident that we all want peace in our lives. I can tell this by the way that we live our lives, to the way that we do things in our daily life. We like to keep a certain order or peace in our life in order for everything to go as it is planned. We take vacations, we go to spas, we exercise, watch TV, read books, we listen to music, and even consult psychiatrists so we can have a peace of mind. But will these things ever really give you peace of mind? No. I don't believe these possessions and getaways will ever truly give you the peace of mind that you're looking for. I think these are temporary fixes to what seems to be a permanent problem. Peace. We watch the news and we see wars going on where peace just can't be rung between these two groups. We look around the world and see all the problems that we have going on in our life. And many people say that peace is not something that we can have. But we can have peace. So what is peace? How do we get it and how do we keep it? Amelia Earhart, an aviation pioneer, once states that courage is the price that life exacts for granting us peace. Malcolm X says that you can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedom. Israeli military leader Moshe Dayan states, if you want to make peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies. That's profound. All these people from all these different walks of life and religious states and all these different political views, they have views of what peace is and what peace is not. He says, if you want peace, don't talk to your friends. Talk to your enemies. That's what our problem is. We don't often talk to our enemies. We talk to our friends about our enemies and say there can be no peace. In various walks of our life, in religious backgrounds, we have our different definitions of peace. But the Bible definition of peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, a freedom from civil disturbance. It's a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in your personal relationships or personal relations. The Bible tells us that God is the author of peace. Psalms 147 and verse 14, Isaiah 45 and verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. It comes from a heavenly wisdom. Peace comes from heavenly wisdom. James 3 and verse 17. It is necessary for you to enjoy your life. Psalms 34 verse 12 and 14. 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11. God also gives it to those who obey him. Leviticus 26 and verse number 6. So this evening, I just like to speak to you for a short time, because I only have a short time and because my voice won't stand up for so long, from the subject, I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with myself. Now, the Bible tells us in our text in Colossians, flip over there right quick, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse number 15. So in order for you to have some peace in your personal life, you have to get in the right place. This is your opportunity. The church is the right place. Matthew 16 and verse number 18 tells us that Jesus asked his disciples a question. He asked them who men thought that he was. And the reply that he received was, some men think that you're Elijah's, some Isaiah's, some one of the prophets. And he stated to them, well, who do you say that I am? You that know me, you that walk with me on a personal basis, who do you say that I am? Peter quickly stepped up and answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied to him, and thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is the right place for you to be. Why is that? Because Christ built the church. He built the church for the saved. Those called out of the world, those called out of the sickness of the world, the destruction of the world, in order for us to have some peace in our lives. He brought us in so that we can support each other and help each other through the times when we think there's no tomorrow. It's too dark for us to ever walk on and keep going and keep fighting. It's a place of safety. The church is a place of safety. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27 tells us, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. It's a house of safety. God's arms are there. His strength is there. God is here to protect us. He has set us up in this place to fortify. He's given us a refuge from the times of storm, the times of struggle. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 33 says, the God of my rock, in him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. God is a protector. He set us up with a protection, and that is the church. The church is also the house of God, and there's only one church. Despite what others might tell you, there is only one church. Romans 12 and verse 4 and 5 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. There is only one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. We're in the right place. We're in the right place for us to receive a measure of peace. Don't let no one scare you out of being in the church. Being in that number that is called out of the world, it's a privilege. It's an opportunity for greatness if you let it be. We are called from the world, so we need to be different. We need to be distinct in the way that we live our lives. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to be different. And it's only reasonable that we be different. God's not asking a lot of us in our lives for us to change the way that we do things and do it the way that he would have us to do it on a daily basis. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We haven't always had the privilege of knowing God. We at one time had no chance of salvation. We were doomed to go to hell. And there's nothing we can do about it. But God saw fit that we should have a chance just as the Jews had their chance. Right. He saw fit that we should have an opportunity to show forth our praises to him. Mm-hmm. But we have to take advantage of that. We have to be in the church in order to take advantage of that. There are no saved folk outside the church. No saved folk outside the church. And that's a hard concept for people to understand sometimes, but God will not be mocked. God is in the business of putting people in their place. All throughout the Old Testament, God is putting people in their place. When you don't understand where you're supposed to be in your relationship with God, he will put you in the place where he wants you to be. See, once you get in the church, you have to stay in the church. We, being Christians, are in a covenant relationship with God. And what a covenant relationship is that you just have an obligation or an agreement that you set forth. Amen. When you're baptized, you make an agreement with God that you're going to be faithful, that you're going to serve him as he would have you to serve. You're going to obey his word that he has set forth. We don't want to break that covenant relationship. So we have to stay in the right place, and that gives us an opportunity for advancement. Number one, we have to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We have to continuously be on our knees in prayer in order for us to get through these days. Sometimes it's hard for us to get peace. Unless we can get down on our knees. Lest we can shed a few tears while we're talking to God all by ourselves. James 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that ye might be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is important. But where is prayer in your life? Are you thanking God for the things and the opportunity that he has given you? Are you letting advancements come into your life by prayer? God also wants us to teach. Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Paul said, I'm going to send someone your way to teach you, to remind you of where you need to be, in order that you might continue to advance in the word that God has placed in your heart. Worship. We must show honor or respect or show reverence. That's why we come here Sunday morning and Sunday evening, to show respect, to show reverence, to show honor for God who has given so much for us. Amen. Worship is important. Don't let things keep you from worship. I've been there myself. I'm one who didn't attend evening service when I first started off. But yet when I got here and I began to work and I seen how important it was, I had to be here. Because I began to enjoy it. But don't take advantage of the grace that God has given toward us. He's given you the opportunity to live. Do what's right with your life. Do what's right while you can. Matthew 4 and verse 10 says, then say of Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, from it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and thou shalt serve him only. We are made for the purpose of service. We are made to serve God and God only. God is a jealous God and wants no one else, no other gods before him. Philippians 3:3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is not in fleshly or earthly things or material things. It's in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason why you can stand up and say, I lived another day, is because Jesus. That is your confidence. That is your confidence for going throughout each day, living for the purpose of having that chance to see God in glory. Right. Study. 1 Timothy 4, 10 through 11. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. And we command it as we commanded you. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, dividing the word of God. And that's 2 Timothy 2:15. The first text that I gave you there was 1 Timothy 4:10. And he says in verse 11, in that you study to be quiet. And I found this interesting. He said, study to be quiet. Help us now. Come on. He's telling us that studying will help you to control yourself, to keep your temperance, to get a certain measure of peace. Study. God has given us the tools that we can live a life that's productive, where we're not all stressed out. You got a head full of gray hair and we're only 25. He's given us the tools for us to survive, but we don't use it. We don't use the tools that God has given us. We often don't study. We often don't pray. And sometimes we don't even come to worship. Where are we putting our priorities in our lives? Is it in worldly things that we can't take with us when we go? Or is it in the things that are spiritual, the things that Christ would have us to concentrate on? We also are to do good to all men. Luke 6, verse 33 and 35 says, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We need to do good to all men. Yeah. Not just the people we like. Not just our neighbors or our friends that we grew up in high school with. No. Do good to all men. Amen. So we need to pray. Once we get in the body of Christ, that is our opportunity. Once we get in, we must stay in. That is our time for advancement. Once we're in, we ought to pray, teach, worship, study, and do good to all men. Now, that's not all inclusive. There's a lot more you can do. That's just what I chose because I have only a certain amount of time. But yet, these are steps that we need to take in order for us to gain a certain measure of peace in our lives. See, we can forget about peace in our lives without Jesus Christ. Amen. See, when wives don't submit themselves, there is no peace. When husbands don't love their wives, there is no peace. When fathers provoke their children to anger, there is no peace. When servants don't obey their masters, there is no peace. When things are done not wholeheartedly, but half-heartedly, there is no peace. Peace comes from doing what God has told us to do, not from living the way that we would want to live. And finally, once we have placed ourselves or being added to the church, once we're working in the church, we have to continue to follow the right people. And that's where our advantage will come in. We have to rely on God's plan that he has set up for us. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6 says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God, the Father, the most important in our lives, the one we set our affections toward. He has made us promises. He has showed us his providence. And he has set us on a path that we should walk. Amen. God is good. Amen. I don't have to ask you if God is good to you. I know he's good to you. Amen. I can see it in your face. I can see it on your feet. I can see it on your back. I can see it in the parking lot. God's been good to you. Amen. If you drove up here in a piece of junk, God's still been good to you. Because right. You got a piece of junk. Not everybody has what you have. God saw fit that you would be one who would take care of what he gave to you. And so he blessed you in that manner. God is good. Yeah. The Son, Colossians 3, verse 1 through 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, covetousness. God says to get rid of all these things. Follow Jesus. Die as he died for you. That's what we're doing when we go into the watery grave of baptism. We're killing all those things. We're dying of the lives that we lived and raising up in the newness of life that Jesus has helped us to get. Will you raise in the newness of life? Or will you rise and still be living the filthy life that you had before you got down in the water? The choice is yours. But yet, once we choose to go down in that watery grave of baptism, God then chooses to give us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a guide. 1 John, verse 14. 1 John, verse 14, 16 through 20. Chapter 14, 16 through 20. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeketh him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, from he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live with ye also. God says, or Jesus says, I'm going to ask my Father to send someone to comfort you. I know that I am leaving, and you're scared because I'm leaving, but I'm going to send someone to comfort you. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit God sent to lead and guide in our life and give us the comfort, that peace that passes all understanding that we talk about in Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue in them, concentrate on these things. Be good. Because God is good. He gave his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit See, God is so good that he not only set us up with salvation, he even gave us a roadmap on how to keep our salvation. Not many people are going to do that for you. They might set you up with some directions, but they're not going to help you get to where you need to go. They're not going to give you gas money. You're going to have to find that on your own. But God is so good that he not only gives us the directions, but he gives us also gas money. He gives us the vehicle to ride in. He gives us all the amenities that we need until he can come to us and carry us himself. Christ is peace. If you want peace, you must have Christ. The peace we need in this life cannot be found in worldly pleasures or vices that we find in our daily lives. We can only get what we need from the church. Those called out of the world and from the mire of the world to a new beginning. We have to live clean lives and follow the guidance of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to make sure that we are in the right place, which is the church that Jesus built. Make sure that you stay there when you get there. And make sure you follow the Father, the Son, and that Holy Spirit. A French monk, Peter Menard, once said, "Not merely an absence of noise, real silence begins when a reasonable being withdraws from the noise in order to find peace and order in his own sanctuary." Thomas A. Kempis says, "First keep the peace within yourself, then you can also bring peace to others." All right. I'm at peace with myself. It starts with you. We can talk all we want about world peace and trying to save those over in Africa and so forth and so on, but what difference does it make if we don't start with ourselves? If you can't be at peace with your brother and sister here, how can you go overseas and talk peace? If we can't change the problems that we have here, why even bother going anywhere else to start peace? Peace starts with us. And it ends with the world being blessed. God wants us all to have peace. He wants us all to have an opportunity to get into heaven. But we all don't take advantage of that opportunity. Many times we say we want peace in our lives, but we don't really want peace. We love destruction. We love anarchy. We even put it on TV. Some of us like to see violence. It gives us a certain jump in joy in our lives. Nothing wrong with that. Is it? Peace. What is it? Is it what I said up there? Not always. Sometimes we define peace for ourselves. But our peace isn't always what God would want for us. Mm-hmm. What we have to do in our lives is seek God's peace. Amen. And God's peace will be the leading and guiding force in your life. It will help you to change from where you are now, struggling, fighting, toiling, can't get any sleep at night, to someone who sleeps all through the night like they took a couple no-dos. God can provide you with peace, but you have to take him up on his offer. God has given us a simple plan in order to take him up on his offer. We must hear his word. Romans 10 and verse 17. Believe it. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Repent of our past sins. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Confess Christ as our Lord and Savior. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized. So many scriptures on baptism. But God wants us to do it. And that's all it boils down to. As much as I can Well, I can't holler and scream now, but as much as I can stand up here and jump and scream and holler for you to be baptized, for you to give your life to Christ, it means nothing until you do it. You can't expect to be peaceful in your life until you do it. God is good. Amen? Then let's show us how good he is. Stand together with me as we sing the hymn of invitation. God wants you to pray for me and my family. This will be my first time preaching since my girl's been born, so this will be that first time hearing me preach. So I have a special audience tonight. I got to do a good job. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know on whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day. It is evident that we all want peace in our lives. I can tell this by the way that we live our lives, to the way that we do things in our daily life. We like to keep a certain order or peace in our life in order for everything to go as it is planned. We take vacations, we go to spas, we exercise, watch TV, read books, we listen to music, and even consult psychiatrists so we can have a peace of mind. But will these things ever really give you peace of mind? No. I don't believe these possessions and getaways will ever truly give you the peace of mind that you're looking for. I think these are temporary fixes to what seems to be a permanent problem. Peace. We watch the news and we see wars going on where peace just can't be rung between these two groups. We look around the world and see all the problems that we have going on in our life. And many people say that peace is not something that we can have. But we can have peace. So what is peace? How do we get it and how do we keep it? Amelia Earhart, an aviation pioneer, once states that carriage is the price that life exacts for granting us peace. Malcolm X says that you can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedom. Israeli military leader Moshe Dayan states, if you want to make peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies. That's profound. All these people from all these different walks of life and religious states and all these different political views, they have views of what peace is and what peace is not. He says, if you want peace, don't talk to your friends. Talk to your enemies. That's what our problem is. We don't often talk to our enemies. We talk to our friends about our enemies and say there can be no peace. In various walks of our life, in religious backgrounds, we have our different definitions of peace. But the Bible definition of peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, a freedom from civil disturbance. It's a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in your personal relationships or personal relations. The Bible tells us that God is the author of peace. Psalms 147 and verse 14, Isaiah 45 and verse 7, and 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. It comes from a heavenly wisdom. Peace comes from heavenly wisdom. James 3 and verse 17. It is necessary for you to enjoy your life. Psalms 34 verse 12 and 14. 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11. God also gives it to those who obey him. Leviticus 26 and verse number 6. So this evening, I just like to speak to you for a short time, because I only have a short time and because my voice won't stand up for so long, from the subject, I'm at peace with myself. I'm at peace with myself. Now the Bible tells us in our text in Colossians, flip over there right quick, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse number 15. So in order for you to have some peace in your personal life, you have to get in the right place. This is your opportunity. The church is the right place. Matthew 16 and verse number 18 tells us that Jesus asked his disciples a question. He asked them who men thought that he was. And the reply that he received was, some men think that you're Elijah's, some Isaiah's, some one of the prophets. And he stated to them, well, who do you say that I am? You that know me, you that walk with me on a personal basis, who do you say that I am? Peter quickly stepped up and answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied to him, and thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is the right place for you to be. Why is that? Because Christ built the church. He built the church for the saved, those called out of the world, those called out of the sickness of the world, the destruction of the world, in order for us to have some peace in our lives. He brought us in so that we can support each other and help each other through the times when we think there's no tomorrow. It's too dark for us to ever walk on and keep going and keep fighting. It's a place of safety. The church is a place of safety. Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27 tells us, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. It's a house of safety. God's arms are there. His strength is there. God is here to protect us. He has set us up in this place to fortify. He's given us a refuge from the times of storm, the times of struggle. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 33 says, the God of my rock, in him I will trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. God is a protector. And he set us up with a protection. And that is the church. The church is also the house of God, and there's only one church. Despite what others might tell you, there is only one church. Romans 12 and verse 4 and verse 4 and 5 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. There is only one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. We're in the right place. We're in the right place for us to receive a measure of peace. Don't let no one scare you out of being in the church. Being in that number that is called out of the world. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity for greatness. If you let it be. We are called from the world, so we need to be different. We need to be distinct in the way that we live our lives. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need to be different. And it's only reasonable that we be different. God's not asking a lot of us in our lives for us to change the way that we do things and do it the way that he would have us to do it on a daily basis. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We haven't always had the privilege of knowing God. We at one time had no chance of salvation. We were doomed to go to hell. And there was nothing we can do about it. But God saw fit that we should have a chance just as the Jews had their chance. He saw fit that we should have an opportunity to show forth our praises to him. But we have to take advantage of that. We have to be in the church in order to take advantage of that. There are no saved folk outside the church. No saved folk outside the church. And that's a hard concept for people to understand sometimes, but God will not be mocked. God is in the business of putting people in their place. All throughout the Old Testament, God is putting people in their place. When you don't understand where you're supposed to be in your relationship with God, he will put you in the place where he wants you to be. See, once you get in the church, you have to stay in the church. We, being Christians, are in a covenant relationship with God. And what a covenant relationship is that you just have an obligation or an agreement that you've set forth. When you're baptized, you make an agreement with God that you're going to be faithful, that you're going to serve him as he would have you to serve. You're going to obey his word that he has set forth. We don't want to break that covenant relationship. So we have to stay in the right place, and that gives us an opportunity for advancement. Number one, we have to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We have to continuously be on our knees in prayer in order for us to get through these days. Sometimes it's hard for us to get peace. Unless we can get down on our knees. Lest we can shed a few tears while we're talking to God all by ourselves. James 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that ye might be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is important. But where is prayer in your life? Are you thanking God for the things and the opportunity that he has given you? Are you letting advancements come into your life by prayer? God also wants us to teach. Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Paul said, I'm going to send someone your way to teach you, to remind you of where you need to be, in order that you might continue to advance in the word that God has placed in your heart. Worship. We must show honor or respect or show reverence. That's why we come here Sunday morning and Sunday evening, to show respect, to show reverence, to show honor for God who has given so much for us. Amen. Worship is important. Don't let things keep you from worship. I've been there myself. I'm one who didn't attend evening service when I first started off. But yet when I got here and I began to work and I seen how important it was, I had to be here. Because I began to enjoy it. But don't take advantage of the grace that God has given toward us. He's given you the opportunity to live. Do what's right with your life. Do what's right while you can. Matthew 4 and verse 10 says, then say of Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, from it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and thou shalt serve him only. We are made for the purpose of service. We are made to serve God and God only. God is a jealous God. and wants no one else, no other gods before him. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Our confidence is not in fleshly or earthly things or material things. It's in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason why you can stand up and say, "I lived another day," is because Jesus. That is your confidence. That is your confidence for going throughout each day, living for the purpose of having that chance to see God in glory. Study 1 Timothy 4, 10 through 11. "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Verse 11. "And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. And we command it as we commanded you." He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, dividing the word of God." And that's 2 Timothy 2:15. The first text that I gave you there was 1 Timothy 4:10. And he says in verse 11, "In that you study to be quiet." And I found this interesting. He said, "Study to be quiet."
Help us now.
He's telling us that studying will help you to control yourself, to keep your temperance, to get a certain measure of peace. Study. God has given us the tools that we can live a life that's productive, where we're not all stressed out. You got a head full of gray hair and we're only 25. He's given us the tools for us to survive, but we don't use it. We don't use the tools that God has given us. We often don't study. We often don't pray. And sometimes we don't even come to worship. Where are we putting our priorities in our lives? Is it in worldly things that we can't take with us when we go? Or is it in the things that are spiritual? The things that Christ would have us to concentrate on. We also are to do good to all men. Luke 6, verse 33 and 35 says, "And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." Verse 35, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." We need to do good to all men. Not just the people we like, not just our neighbors or our friends that we grew up in high school with. Do good to all men. So we need to pray. Once we get in the body of Christ, that is our opportunity. Once we get in, we must stay in. That is our time for advancement. Once we're in, we ought to pray, teach, worship, study, and do good to all men. Now, that's not all inclusive. There's a lot more you can do. That's just what I chose because I have only a certain amount of time. But yet, these are steps that we need to take in order for us to gain a certain measure of peace in our lives.
Yeah.
See, we can forget about peace in our lives without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, when wives don't submit themselves, there is no peace. When husbands don't love their wives, there is no peace. When fathers provoke their children to anger, there is no peace. When servants don't obey their masters, there is no peace. When things are done not wholeheartedly, but half-heartedly, there is no peace. Peace comes from doing what God has told us to do, not from living the way that we would want to live. And finally, once we have placed ourselves or being added to the church, once we're working in the church, we have to continue to follow the right people. And that's where our advantage will come in. We have to rely on God's plan that he has set up for us. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6 says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God, the Father, the most important in our lives, the one we set our affections toward. He has made us promises. He has showed us his providence. And he has set us on a path that we should walk. Amen. God is good. Amen. I don't have to ask you if God is good to you. I know he's good to you. Amen. I can see it in your face. I can see it on your feet. I can see it on your back. I can see it in the parking lot. God's been good to you. Amen. If you drove up here in a piece of junk, God's still been good to you. Because you got a piece of junk. Not everybody has what you have. God saw fit that you would be one who would take care of what he gave to you. And so he blessed you. And that manner, God is good. Yeah. The Son, Colossians 3, verse 1 through 5. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, covetousness. God says to get rid of all these things. Follow Jesus. Die as he died for you. That's what we're doing when we go into the watery grave of baptism. We're killing all those things. We're dying of the lives that we lived and raising up in the newness of life that Jesus has helped us to get. Will you raise in the newness of life? Or will you rise and still be living the filthy life that you had before you got down in the water? The choice is yours. But yet, once we choose to go down in that watery grave of baptism, God then chooses to give us the Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a guide. 1 John, verse 14. 1 John, verse 14, 16 through 20. Chapter 14, 16 through 20. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeketh him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, from he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live with ye also. God says, or Jesus says, I'm going to ask my Father to send someone to comfort you. I know that I am leaving, and you're scared because I'm leaving, but I'm going to send someone to comfort you. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit God sent to lead and guide in our life and give us the comfort, that peace that passes all understanding that we talk about in Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue in them. Concentrate on these things. Be good. Because God is good. He gave his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. See, God is so good that he not only set us up with salvation, he even gave us a roadmap on how to keep our salvation. Not many people are going to do that for you. They might set you up with some directions, but they're not going to help you get to where you need to go. They're not going to give you gas money. You're going to have to find that on your own. But God is so good that he not only gives us the directions, but he gives us also gas money. He gives us the vehicle to ride in. He gives us all the amenities that we need until he can come to us and carry us himself. Christ is peace. If you want peace, you must have Christ. The peace we need in this life cannot be found in worldly pleasures or vices that we find in our daily lives. We can only get what we need from the church. Those called out of the world and from the mire of the world to a new beginning. We have to live clean lives and follow the guidance of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to make sure that we are in the right place, which is the church that Jesus built. Make sure that you stay there when you get there. And make sure you follow the Father, the Son, and that Holy Spirit. A French monk, Peter Menard, once said, "Not merely an absence of noise. Real silence begins when a reasonable being withdraws from the noise in order to find peace and order in his own sanctuary." Thomas A. Kempis says, "First keep the peace within yourself, then you can also bring peace to others." All right. I'm at peace with myself. It starts with you. We can talk all we want about world peace and trying to save those over in Africa and so forth and so on, but what difference does it make if we don't start with ourselves? Man, if you can't be at peace with your brother and sister here, how can you go overseas and talk peace? If we can't change the problems that we have here, why even bother going anywhere else to start peace? Peace starts with us. And it ends with the world being blessed. God wants us all to have peace. He wants us all to have an opportunity to get into heaven. Well, we all don't take advantage of that opportunity. Many times we say we want peace in our lives, but we don't really want peace. We love destruction. We love anarchy. We even put it on TV. Some of us like to see violence. It gives us a certain jump and joy in our lives. Nothing wrong with that. Is it? Peace. What is it? Is it what I said up there? Not always. Sometimes we define peace for ourselves. But our peace isn't always what God would want for us. Mm-hmm. What we have to do in our lives is seek God's peace. Amen. And God's peace will be the leading and guiding force in your life. It will help you to change from where you are now. Struggling, fighting, toiling, can't get any sleep at night, to someone who sleeps all through the night like they took a couple no-dos. God can provide you with peace, but you have to take him up on his offer. God has given us a simple plan in order to take him up on his offer. We must hear his word. Romans 10 and verse 17. Believe it. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Repent of our past sins 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and be baptized. So many scriptures on baptism. But God wants us to do it. And that's all it boils down to. As much as I can, I can't holler and scream now, but as much as I can stand up here and jump and scream and holler for you to be baptized, for you to give your life to Christ, it means nothing until you do it. You can't expect to be peaceful in your life until you do it. God is good. Amen? Then let's show us how good he is. Stand together with me as we sing the hymn of invitation. God wants